No? My goodness. This also is Elder Lonnie Mazingo's first trip to Piney Grove. We are delighted to have him. I'll ask your interest in his prayers. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. I want to say that it certainly has been a great joy to be with you in this meeting. I appreciate the kindness that has been shown to me since I came to be with you yesterday morning. When I left Mississippi to come to this meeting at 4:30 yesterday morning, I had no idea that I was going to run headlong into a Primitive Baptist revival. But I'm so thankful that I did. You know, some churches put up a sign ahead of time saying revival next week. Y'all need to put up a sign saying we're having one right now. Stop. I'm very thankful for the privilege to speak to you today, and I have been greatly revived by the song service and by the prayers that have been offered during this meeting and by the preaching of the gospel. And I told Brother Clayton that my primary purpose for coming this way was to express my deep appreciation to the church for all of these cards that you sent to me over the last 3 years. I've got a stack of them from this church. And I told him that the thing I appreciated the most about these cards is they never stop coming. And I've tried to express to the Primitive Baptists throughout the country how grateful I am for their prayers, and I'm thankful. And I wanted to let you know personally how much I appreciate your prayers for me. And I told Brother Clayton also that when he asked me to speak to you this morning, that even though my primary purpose for coming here today was to thank you for those cards and those prayers, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you if that's what you would have me to do. There may not be much in me this morning, but I hope that you'll pray for me that whatever the Lord would allow me to give you would be in harmony with the power of this meeting and the preaching that has gone before, and that what we say and do would bring glory to the Lord's name and edify you, his people. I'd like to draw your attention to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 4 verses, and I'd like for you to listen for the word precious. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In this portion of Scripture, the apostle speaks of two things that are precious: precious faith and exceeding great and precious promises. I'd like to speak to you today on some precious things. The word precious means that which is valued, that which is esteemed with value that is inestimable. In other words, the value of it cannot be calculated. It is above calculating the value. It is inestimable or inestimable in its value. It is rare and it is precious. The Bible tells us that is the attitude, that is the feeling, rather, that God has for his son. If we turn back to the book of 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter, and I want to preach to you for an hour on the Apostle Peter, but I'm not going to do it because I don't have time, but I can really identify with the Apostle Peter. You know, the Apostle Paul was kind of like a bionic apostle. He when he finished his life, he said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." He's kind of like Brother Ronald Lawrence over here. He's just a steady Eddie. You always know he's going to preach every time he gets up. It's just like clockwork. Apostle Peter was another story. One minute, he's on the mountaintop. Next minute, he's down in the valley.
Yeah.
One minute, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Next time you see him, he curses and swears and says, "I never knew the man." One minute he says, "Lord, it's good for us to be in this place. Let's build 3 tabernacles." You know, the Bible says that Peter wist not what to say, but it didn't stop him from talking. And he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be in this place. Let's build 3 altars." What did God say? God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Jesus said, "They're going to crucify me." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord." He rebuked the Lord. Can you imagine? He rebuked the Lord himself and said, "Don't talk that way." Jesus turned and looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I don't know about you, but that rattled me a little bit. If the Lord looked at me and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God." Peter said, "Lord, though all men forsake you, I won't deny you. I'll go with you even unto death." Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has desired thee to sift thee as wheat." And here's the most precious thing that he said to Peter. He said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, I can identify with that. Peter curses and swears and said, "I never knew that man." You know why he did that? He was trying to save his hide. He's a coward. I don't care how you slice it. He was scared. A little woman, a little damsel, a little teenage girl says, "You're one of those Galileans." He said, "Not me." You know why? Because he's not on a Mount of Transfiguration. He's in Pilate's judgment hall watching his Savior with his hands tied behind his back and his eyes blindfolded and them smiting him and saying, "Prophesy, who was it that smote thee?" He's watching them beat his Savior on the head with a reed and put a crown of thorns on his head. They're watching him put a purple robe upon his back and kneel down. You ever seen this lately? And mock him. And said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And he was scared to death. And when that woman said, "You're one of them," he said, "No, I'm not." When Jesus arose from the dead, and I could preach all day about that. I was watching a sunset recently over the lake. And it was the most brilliant blood red sunset I've seen in a long time. And I looked up and saw something I'd never noticed before. Here were these beautiful cumulus clouds, the one that looked like marshmallows.
Yes.
And they were purple. And I said, "Oh, Lord, there it is. The heavens declaring the death of my Savior right before my eyes. The blood of Christ in the purple robe on his back. It's right there in front of me." When Jesus arose from the dead, you know who came to the tomb first? A little woman named Mary Magdalene, from whom the Lord had cast out 7 devils. I can identify with her. And whenever she didn't recognize him, Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni." She recognized her master's voice. She went back and told him. You know what happened? Peter took off running. John takes off running. John gets there before the Apostle Peter. John stops and looks in, but Peter just charges right on in. And he gets inside and he finds the tomb empty and he sees the grave clothes folded up. They didn't rob that body out of there. They wouldn't have taken time to fold up the grave clothes if they were robbing. He folded those grave clothes up because he didn't need them anymore when he came out of that tomb. And Peter goes back and he's wondering at what he sees. Jesus appears to them. And the apostles begin to shout for joy and tell people he's alive. Mary's saying he's alive. And some people believe him, some people don't. Peter's trying to figure out what's going on. And finally, the Bible says the Lord appeared to him two times. Everybody started figuring out. Even Thomas got it after a while. My Lord and my God, he said. You know what Peter does? He said, well, boys, I'm going fishing. You know why? Because said, I'm glad the Lord's alive and I'm happy, but you see, I messed up. I'm finished. I cursed and swore. When the test came, I failed. So I'm happy for you, brethren. Y'all go tell everybody the Lord's alive, but I'm going fishing. I'm through. I'm wiped out. I'm washed up. Yeah. But you know what the Lord did?
Yeah.
The Bible said they fished all night and couldn't catch anything. That was familiar. I've been there. Can you identify with that? And the Bible says the next morning the Lord says, children, he's standing on the shore. Right where he found him the first time he called him to preach, by the way. And he's standing on the shore saying, children, do you have any meat? And they said, you know, I like what he said about the prayer. Like, Lord, help. You know what their answer was? No. It wasn't a long answer. I mean, literally, they said no. And he said, cast your net down the right side. Oh, isn't it wonderful when the Lord tells you what to do and you do what the Lord does and everything just falls into place and you pull the net in and you can't get it in because there's so much, you can't catch it. That's the difference when the Lord blesses and when he doesn't. You know what John said? John remembered the first time he saw that miracle when the Lord called him the first time. You know what John said? He said to Peter and the other apostles, he said, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. You know what Peter did? A belly flop. He just jumped out of the boat. The Bible said he cast himself out of the boat. You ever cast a net? He just did a belly flop. He couldn't wait for the boat to get to shore. He took off swimming to the shore. He got there because he knew. You know, the first time he ever met Jesus, you know what he said? He fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Here was a pitiful Savior talking to a sinful man. A man full of sin and a man full of pity. That's a good combination, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Lord is pitiful. Have you tasted that the Lord is pitiful, full of pity? Jesus had pity on the apostle one more time, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said the third time, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter, you know, he never quite ever gets it. He gets grieved with the Lord. He actually gets upset. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He denied him three times. What did he do? He gave him an opportunity to confess him three times.
Amen.
Confess his love for him. You say, okay, Peter's got it now. He's got it. He's got the commission. He's on the way. The Lord's forgiven him. He's confessed his love. He will not mess up anymore. He's going to finally get it right now. Peter says, Lord, what about this man over here? What do you want him to do? And Jesus says, Peter, if I want him to sit right there till I come back, what is that to you? You just go do what I told you to do. Now, can you identify with the Apostle Peter? No wonder he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again into a lively hope.
Yes.
Oh, has your hope ever died out and you thought, I'm finished, I'm washed up, there's no more hope for me? And then the Lord come back and say, do you love me? And you said, well, Lord, you know that. I love you. He said, you feed my sheep. Has the Lord ever given you a second chance or a third chance or a fifth chance or a hundredth chance?
Yeah.
He gave Peter several chances. I hadn't counted them up, but I need to go do that when I get home. The point I want you to see is that when Peter said, unto you therefore that believe, he is precious. The Lord is precious to people that have been forgiven. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was present, the Pharisees were so jealous of him simply because he could do for people what they could not do. He could heal them. He healed the blind, he healed the deaf, he healed the dumb that couldn't speak. He unstopped the ears of the deaf, he healed the lepers, he raised the dead, and he preached the gospel to the poor, which is a miracle just like all the others. And if you don't believe it, just watch a Primitive Baptist preacher try to do it without the Lord. And the people were mobbing the Lord. They were throngs of people because they were desperate to get well. And they knew that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Here was a woman had an issue of blood. She couldn't find it. She had gone to all the physicians and spent all of her money. And not only had they taken her money, they had hurt her. They had made her situation worse. You ever had that happen to you? She said, but if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And she touches him. And Jesus turns and says, who touched me? Guess who spoke up, by the way? You got it. Peter says, Lord, there's a crowd of people all around us and you want to know who touched you. He said, somebody touched me because virtue has gone out of me. And when that woman realized she couldn't hide, she fessed up and said, it was me. And you know what God said to her?
Yeah.
Jesus said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole.
Yeah.
Go in peace. That's precious faith, isn't it?
Amen.
That Canaanite woman, you know what God, what the Lord said? After she said, the crumbs fall from the master's tables, and he says, you know what he said back to her? O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And she went home and found her daughter well. You see, faith is precious. It's rare, and its value cannot be esteemed. That's the attitude God has toward his son. Jesus was so popular, the Pharisees tried to figure out a way to kill him. And the Bible says that he withdrew himself, but the multitudes followed him. And the reason why Jesus did that is so it might be fulfilled, and this is in Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to read it. I used to try to quote it, but I listened to myself preach it one time, and I realized I misquoted about half the verses, and I'm not going to do that anymore if the Lord will help me. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved. You remember what God said about Jesus when he came up out of the water after John baptized him? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know what Jesus said on the Mount of Transfiguration to Peter and John? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. You know what God said in the Old Testament book of Isaiah 42:1? Behold, my beloved. This man, this child of mine is beloved. Now, I'm going to tell you what the significance of that in a moment. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. And I wish I had time to preach on, well, I do. He said, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. He shall not strive nor cry, the Bible says. You know what the Old Testament book of Isaiah 42 says about that? It says this, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. You know why Jesus didn't fail? Because he's the Son of God. He's God's Son. That's why he didn't fail. This is his beloved Son. Now, here's the part that's so overwhelming that I hope I can get it out correctly. That word beloved is the Greek counterpart of an Old Testament Hebrew word, darling. You find that word twice in the Old Testament, both in the book of Psalms. First time is 22nd chapter, I believe. The second time is the 37th. If it's not, forgive me. But because of the sake of time, I don't have time to go read it, but listen to what the Lord said. This is the psalmist David speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You recognize that language, don't you? That's Jesus on the cross, isn't it? Listen to what else Jesus said on the cross. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Over here in Psalm 35, he says this in verse 17. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. That New Testament Greek word, beloved, is the same counterpart to the Old Testament Hebrew word, darling. You know what that word darling means? It means my one and only, my as indispensable as my own life. You know how God feels about Jesus? He's his one and only son, his as indestructible, irreplaceable as his own life. The life of Jesus is just as irreplaceable as the life of God himself. That's precious. Unto you, therefore, believe he is just that precious. Jesus is just as irreplaceable as God himself. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. Now, here's what I want you to see. God, thank the Lord, Jesus is not the only Son that God has. He's the only begotten Son of God. You are an adopted son of God. Yeah. Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Yeah. We are God's sons, but we're God's sons by adoption. There's only one that God begat, and that's Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, his one and only, as irreplaceable as his own life, son. I've got four beautiful children and five beautiful grandchildren, and they are the smartest, cutest, best looking grandchildren on the planet, bar none. And they are as irreplaceable as my own life.
Amen, brother.
I remember not too long ago, Brother Ron Lawrence and I have a mutual grandchild, and he had to have his tonsils taken out, and I was up there in Nashville at the hospital. We were, of course, waiting for his tonsils to be taken out. And I had taken the other grandchildren to the dollar store and let them cut them loose, you know, let them run wild. I thought, dollar store, what can they do? Do not let little girls loose in a dollar store with a basket of their own. Tell them, yeah, you can have whatever you want. Granddaddy's here. Load up. When I got the bill, I said, are you sure this is not the $20 store, the $100 bill store? Are you sure this is my bill? But I let him keep it. One of the things that my grandson Aiden picked out was a transformer. Well, actually, it wasn't a transformer. It was a knockoff. It's a dollar store. Well, they didn't do a very good job writing the instructions for this knockoff, and I was trying to put it together for him. And I'm working on putting this thing together, and it's complicated, and I'm tired, and I've been driving in the rain. There's a lot backstory to this, but suffice it to say, I'm exhausted mentally, physically, and I'm trying to put this thing together, and my grandson, Aiden, standing there waiting on me to put it together for him. And about halfway through trying to get it put together, I got frustrated. I thought, you know what, this is a waste of time. He's got a bunch of other stuff. He can play with that. And just as I was about to say, son, I can't do this, he says, I have confidence in you, Granddaddy. How many of y'all believe that I persevered and got that thing done? That transformer got put together. Now, it may not have been exactly the way it was supposed to be, but it got put together. That child, those children are precious, just like yours are to you. My friend, Jesus we can't even fathom how precious Jesus is to God. God the Father loves his son as his own life. And yet, he allowed men to spit on him and beat him and persecute him and whip him and nail him to a cross and crucify him and mock him and all the other things that he did. Did you notice what it says here in Psalm 35? How long wilt thou look upon, O Lord? Let me read it exactly because I just misquoted it again. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. You want to know how long the Lord looked? He looked until he saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. That's how long he looked. He looked until your sins were paid for to the uttermost. That's how long he looked. He looked until justice was satisfied. That's how long he looked. He allowed that to go on as long as it took to save you from a burning hell.
Amen, brother.
Is he precious to you? You see, God so loved the world. And I'm going to let these brethren explain to you what that world is. That he gave his only begotten son. That's the part I want. He gave. What did he give? The most precious thing that he had. His only begotten son. That's how much he loves you. Do you understand? He loves you so. I remember that preacher from Oklahoma. I heard him on a tape. There's the height, breadth, length, and depth of God's love. God so loved the world of his elect. If you don't know I'm an old Baptist by now, Brother Sonny Powell said, you know I'm at least leaning in that direction. For God so loved the elect world that he gave his only begotten son. The most precious thing that he had. Now, time is gone, but I got a few more things to tell you, and I will promise you I'll be brief if you'll be attentive. That faith that you have that God gave you is so precious that the Apostle Peter says, thanks be unto God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by faith, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That faith that God give you is so precious it cannot fail, because God's son says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I'm not saying you won't fall into a state of unbelief. I'm not saying that you won't get confused. I tell you what, I do know what that man laying by the roadside that was beat up and left for half dead feels like, because I've been there. And I had a dear preacher friend of mine one time. He looked across the table. He said, Brother Lonnie, I'm so thankful to see you doing so well. He said, you know, the measure of a man is not how he gets knocked down, but how he gets back up. And I said, brother, I said, I love you and I thank you for that encouragement, but I didn't get up. The Lord picked me up. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he planted my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth and established my goings, even praises unto our God. You see, that man that was half dead didn't get up. That Samaritan picked him up and carried him to the end. And Jesus came by one time and saw me polluted in my own blood and picked me up. And he carried me to the end and he washed my wounds and he put in oil and wine. And he said, if he owes anything, put it on my account. I remember when Elder Harder one time preached on Onesimus and Philemon. And he said, Paul said, put that on mine account. And I thank God that the Lord has blessed my faith for me to see that God put my sins on Jesus' account. I'm not proud of that, but I thank God for that. I thank God that he was made to be sin for me who knew no sin, that I who never knew righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you. Where was I? He is precious. His church is precious. Any more precious place on earth right now than this meeting house? Nothing. His word is precious. You know what the five most beautiful sounds in the world are? The five most precious, beautiful sounds in the world. You know what they are, but I want to remind you. First one is the voice of your beloved, Jesus Christ. No other sound like the sound of your Savior's voice. This young brother preached a wonderful message about the voice of Jesus Christ. When he speaks to you, you don't have to tell somebody the Lord just spoke to me. You know it in your soul. If you've ever heard Jesus speak to you, you know, you're just like Mary Magdalene. You say, Rabboni. It's you, Lord. I recognize you now. It's just like John when he said to Peter, it's the Lord. You know it's the Lord. The most beautiful sound in the world is the voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved Savior. Your beloved Savior. That's the most, all right. Second most beautiful sound is what? Think about it. The sound of the gospel. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Is there anything more beautiful than hearing a primitive Adventist preacher preach the gospel on this earth? Nothing. I tell you what, old Baptists have been accused of going the furthest to hear the least, to go home the most satisfied of any people in the world. But they got it wrong, don't they? Because we go the furthest to hear the most.
Amen.
A crumb from the master's table. You know, I left in a rainstorm yesterday morning at 4:30, and the wind blowing against the truck, I wasn't making any progress hardly at all, but I got here just in time for the first sermon. Some of you made a bigger effort than that to get here. You know why I did that? You know why you do that? Because you just, if you can just get a crumb out of a meeting, and we got the whole load this time, didn't we? We got the whole dinner table this time, or most of it. There'll be a marriage supper of the Lamb that'll exceed this, of course. This is just a foretaste, just the earnest of our inheritance. But anyway, got to move on. The third most beautiful sound in the world is what? Old Baptist singing in the Spirit. See, you know this. I'm just reminding you. And I want to commend these song leaders, by the way. You have not driven these sheep. You have allowed. My daddy, I think everybody would agree, knew a little something about how to lead a song. I have people tell me all the time, say, oh, I can remember your daddy leading. What a day that will be. My daddy could lead singing. He could get more out of people in a song service than anybody I ever knew. Yeah. And, you know, he'd say, one more time, and people would sing, one more time. You know what he told me? He said, a good song leader is somebody that'll crank up the old Baptist and get out of their way.
Yeah.
I've seen more song services ruined by some brother who knew exactly how to. Look, I took 4 years of band. You know why? I couldn't play football. I tried, and I thought, if I get through this practice alive, I'm out. I was the drum major for 2 years. I know music. I know how to do it in 3-4 times. I know, and I'm not criticizing somebody that does. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing somebody that sincerely is showing you the right place to be, because those of us in the back, we get a half beat behind those in the front, and you need a song leader to do that. But when one says, look, you are going to follow me or else I'm going to ruin this song service and you're going to do it my way or else, that's whenever it quenches the Spirit.
Amen.
Crank them up and get out of their way. When the Spirit's with them, they don't need your help.
Amen.
Fourth most beautiful sound in the world, the sound of a loved one's voice.
Amen.
A wife or a husband, a mother or a daddy, a sister or a brother, a child or a grandchild. Little Tabitha, Brother Ronald's little grandchild, looked up at me one day, my grandchild too, of course, said, Granddaddy, I love you. I said, honey, let's see, how much do I have here? I can go to the bank and I got an ATM card somewhere. We'll get things worked out. Anything more beautiful than the sound of a loved one's voice from a far distance? Been worried about them, praying for them, sick to death, you hadn't heard anything? Other day, my son Nathan, out in Wichita, Kansas, helping a man open up a new Chick-fil-A restaurant. He's a liaison between the corporate office and the restaurant there. I'm telling you that for a reason, not to brag on my son, but to simply say, couldn't get in touch with him for a couple of days. Texting son, give me, you know, text him again, are you all right? Text him a third time, I'm getting a little worried there, son. Finally, get a text, Dad, I've been working since 4 o'clock this morning, it's 11 o'clock tonight, I got to go to bed, I'll talk to you later. That's all he had to say.
Yeah.
I knew he was all right, it's good news, and I thought about that text. That's cool waters to a thirsty soul. I was so thirsty to hear from him, I was worried sick. As cool waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Isn't it wonderful whenever some primitive Baptist preacher will say, I got some good news from heaven. Everything's all right. Jesus, your great high priest, is on the job. He ever liveth to make intercession for you, and nothing can separate you from his love. Oh, I tell you, that's a beautiful sound to hear from a loved one. Maybe some soldier boy overseas gets a phone call from his wife. She says, honey, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm waiting for you. Some sister gets word from a child. Say, Mama, I'm at college, but I'm okay, and I'm studying. Yeah, right. But at least he said it, you know, to make her feel better. fifth most beautiful sound in the world is what? Bluegrass. That's right. Specifically, bluegrass gospel. If you want to get through life, if you're riding down the highway, buy a Sirius XM satellite radio or equivalent thereby. Put it on the bluegrass station and rip off the knob, and you will be a happy person. Yeah. One of my favorite bluegrass songs is By the Mark. You ever heard it?
Yeah.
By the mark of the nails in his hands. One of the verses says this. A man of riches may, I think it says something to the effect, may claim a crown of jewels, thank you. But the king of heaven can be told from a prince of fools by the mark of the nails in his hands.
Amen.
There's a lot of people claim to love you and care about you, but there's only one that allowed people to nail him to a cross for you. And his name is Jesus. Is he precious to you? There are many more precious things, but time is gone and you've been patient, and I promised you I'd quit. May God bless you is my prayer.
Amen.